Intergalactic planetary, planetary, intergalactic, intergalactic, planetary, planetary, intergalactic.
Welcome to the first episode of whatever we decide to name this goddamn show. I am your host, Thomas Mattis, the captain of the Absolution Network, hoping to steer this ship back on track through interstellar space. Joining me is my co-pilot.
Greetings, boys, from the brig, it's me.
Yes, my co-host and co-pilot.
Why am I in the brig again?
Because you're the co-pilot.
But there are no controls over here, just walls and the smell of failure.
That's because you're in the wrong room. That's the cleaning room. Come back on the bridge.
Oh.
Okay, introduce yourself. Do your little dance, Captain Tankless.
The man known in many corners of the internet. In some places I am called Tanuki. In others, Captain Planetpus. And in yet others, I am known as the indomitable Phyllis Tinklebottom. However, you may know me as Edwin Latour. Yeah, and this is Masterpiece Theater.
Yeah, he's just some random guy we get off the street.
When do I get my coffee? You promised me coffee.
There's a reference for a select few, by the way. But, this is... I don't want to call it a relaunch, because it's nowhere near a relaunch. This is a brand new podcast, talking about a subject that we had talked before on another podcast I was doing. Quick story. I used to do a podcast called Comic Book Crazy. Which was really only named because I wanted to use a particular song by Dr. John called Comic Book Crazy. It's a really fun song, too. But, you know, as time went on, it was really hard to do by myself, along with other things that really brought down the show. But towards the end of it, I brought on Edwin, who kind of became a co-host, and we decided to relaunch it as CMJew's Comic Book Crazy after a nickname of mine for another show I did, thinking, I can bring it over here. And it didn't work as well. I mean, the show worked, but I think it didn't have a lot of unity. I was going through a lot of things, considering that the last episode of that podcast is in last June, and we've been away for a couple months.
Heroin's a hell of a drug. What can I say? We're all very proud of you. Now, if you can only get off the Coke.
Well, I'm on Diet Coke. Does that help?
You ran with it. I can't not be proud of you for that.
Sad part is I do. I have Diet Coke in my hands. You can't see it because this is not a video show. Okay, it's Diet Pepsi, but still.
Well, I can see you. You should be ashamed of yourself. Put your pants back on. You too, in the audience. I see you. I see you, and I'm judging you with my eyes.
You and the NSA owe me so much money for the free shows you've been getting.
I can see what you're doing too.
So now that Edwin's creeped you out enough. Trust me, that's his whole shtick through the entire show. That's why we bring him here.
Inappropriateness. It's not just for your drunken in-laws anymore.
Yeah, we, like I said, we bring you here to make me seem less creepy. I don't know how that's possible for people who know me, but you do it. So, the main subject of this show, what we've expanded from the Comic Book Crazy podcast that we did before, is we're not just going to stick to American comics. We're going, basically, comics all over the world, graphic novels, comics all over the world, and sort of the culture that is inspired by them. So, diving into the movies based off them, diving into the culture that surrounds them. Games, if there's a game based off a comic book or manga and we played it, we'll talk about it here. Just overall to have fun, just talk about stuff, to give our honest opinions about it. There may be positive things, there may be negative things, but all in all, I think what's not that nobody is honest, but I think you're going to get a very different, yet still very honest opinion from two very unique gentlemen, which we are. Did you get into the Joker's laughing gas again?
I ask me no questions, I'll tell you no lies.
Seriously, though.
Cut this. Honestly, I really think this is going to be a fun little experiment. I'm going to try to be more honest, more earnest, less random. I'm going to have some fun.
And I think that's what I hope you guys at home have, too, is I hope you guys have a lot of fun listening to us. I hope we make you laugh more than anything, because that's what I want. I want you to have fun. I want this to be something that you can pop into your car and listen to, and we've entertained you for maybe 45 minutes to an hour. Though no promises that will be the set time for these podcasts, because if we really get into something, we can go an hour and a half, too. Hell, if you go to one of my other podcasts where I review Hunchback of Notre Dame, I talked about that movie for 4 hours. I don't know how I did that.
It's called Nerd Rage and Bitching.
Oh, no. Most of that episode was me nerd-gasming.
Okay, considering, you know, how you approach other things, there's a lot of nerd bitching.
True, but I really like Hunchback of Notre Dame. I just have an issue with the ending.
Masturbation song.
I don't know you anymore.
There's a fire under my skin. Mm-hmm, I'm sure there is, you creepy old...
Hellfire! Da, da, da. Now, Gypsy, it's your turn.
I thought we agreed, and by we I mean me, that the proper term is Roma, or Romani.
It's Disney, go with it.
Yeah, we all know how Disney treats the Jews, let's not go for the rest of them. good old jokes. They're there for a reason.
Yeah, yes they are. Let's start off with our first topic. I think the big thing that's really happened over the past, I'll say 2 weeks, is a epic franchise has ended. Naruto, the manga, has ended in issue 700. Well, it was a double release. It was issues 699 and issue 700 in Shonen Jump, with 700 being full color. And the issue isn't that it was a shocking or surprise. It was more of a just disappointment. And I know you think this might just be...
This is what I mean by nerd bitching.
Okay, but I'm not... Okay. Bitching means I have no rationale. I will be rational about this. There's a difference between bitching and criticism. I'm just talking about a criticism that the ending has created because of the ending. And I know I'm not alone in this because at my college, of course, I sit with all the other geeks in it because there's a whole, like, there's like 30, 40 of us who are anime fans and comic book fans, and we've all read the ending, and pretty much even the ones who were fans of the pairings at the end agreed that, yeah, the ending was bullshit.
The ending, it was a time skip ending, and time skip, I mean, so much of what happens with these time skips in Naruto is bullshit. So much of Naruto is bullshit.
Agreed.
Naruto is not a good manga.
I will agree. It's really not been good for the past 2 years because basically they've been just weeding out their time. In fact, I was reading something on Crunchyroll, an article by the creator saying, you know, he was told to extend it by 5 years, which means he was pretty much done with this 5 years ago, but they extended it because it was making so much money. But they said, well, so many people care about it. But that's not my issue. My issue is narrative. You know, I have an issue with, you write something, I went on Facebook, this is why he's saying I'm going to bitch about this. Because part of this came from, I went on Facebook and I compared Kish, because I'm not going to attempt to pronounce his full name, because I'm probably going to butcher it.
Kishimoto.
Thank you. But I compared him to Dan Slott. In the way that he pandered to a small minority group of his fandom and told the rest to go F themselves.
And by that you mean the fact that Sasuke wasn't punished.
In a way, yeah.
Yeah.
That is like the big
base of the fandom is you need to punish Sasuke.
Well, but in fairness, he's done all these despicable things.
You were never going to see Sasuke get punished. He is Kishimoto's favorite character. He has gone on
record of saying this.
And on top of it, you know...
Okay, I understand that. We all agree with that. That's why I said we were disappointed. It's not that we're shocked. It's like we thought he was better than that. I guess we were wrong.
He's a hack writer! He was never better than that. Where did you get this delusion?
Because he was able to draw us into these characters.
Yeah, you know what? That's all he was able to do was make up characters people like. You do that with you make up enough people, eventually somebody is going to like some of them.
But look, it's not I think it's more not just because he wasn't punished. It was everything that was part of those final two. It was the pairings. In particular for me, as somebody who cares a lot about romance, the fact that Naruto and Sakura doesn't get together.
Okay, because the pairing that is so fantastically popular, Hinata got more time in the anime itself. Hinata is that popular that despite him not really caring about her that much, she got that much screen. She was in more filler than everyone else. She is, like, according to fans, the best girl. And the fact is, if you think Naruto should be with Sakura, you've not been paying attention to the fact that she is obsessively orgasming over Sasuke the entire story. Do you really think he deserves to have that happen to him? To basically be her runner-up.
Okay. But we're talking about one. We're talking about the manga here. And Hinata hasn't had that much development in the manga.
Really?
And
considering
two,
she saved Naruto's life when Pain was attacking and during the Ninja War, where she and Neji, you know, jumped in front of him. Neji got killed and she snapped him out of losing his goddamn mind. That wasn't
okay.
Sakura. Sakura was useless. That was Hinata.
I'm not saying she hasn't done anything,
but that's like big pivotal things.
I But Sakura has done big pivotal things too.
She kicked one guy's ass, beat up a spy, proved she could heal, got a mark, and was then left in the mud.
Left in the mud.
That last fight, she was nothing. She was a cheerleader.
Okay.
And that has been her role throughout most of the series.
But it's okay. But she has done a lot.
You know, why Ruler of Time put it best? Sakura, you stand over there and be a cheerleader. I am mean guard.
But part of it, again, this is why I talk about the narrative, is part of what, is, again, why we're so into these characters, is we're wanting to see these characters grow up. And with Sakura has had all this growth in the manga. And we wanted to see her basically achieve what we thought she would achieve, is that she would move on from being that fangirl. And they did. He did that through the last 3 years. She has had a lot of growth. And everybody's like, wow, he might do it. He might push her to where she's moved beyond. Because again, yes, she was a fangirl for Sasuke when she was 12 years old. Now she's, what, 17? And that point of...
16.
She's 16, but still that she's grown up and that she's matured and gotten over that. And you have all this character development, and then you hint to all this stuff, because Kish, one, you have Naruto is Jiraiya's disciple, and Sakura is Tsunade's disciple, and of course Jiraiya is the person that Tsunade is in love but never could be
dead
with. So, in that way, it's the completion of love.
She was in love with him.
Well, she at least cared for him very deeply. And then,
Hello? Add
to that, remember the flashback that showcased Naruto's mom and dad, and how much his mom was exactly like Sakura, and he was exactly like his dad, including towards that end where his dad came back and he met Sakura, and I believe his dad even saying they'll be great together.
And if you, yeah, that's, you know, probably was one
all
of the motive pairings. But at the same time, the end of Naruto, most of that, especially with the Sage of the Six Paths, was about, yeah, don't keep falling into the same cycle of history that we've seen this entire time. Because the entire thing of the history of the Ninja War is all cyclical. It's all been cyclical. Father, you know, disciples take the same thing as their master, and so on and so forth. And it's just been a road of tragedy.
But they are still like that at the end.
Yes, but he decided to do things differently. At least it's a start.
I'd rather have everything be else different and him be with the girl. And that's the other point that affects me is, okay, so... Because it seems the reason more like they want that pairing is because it's always, well, Hinata deserves Naruto. Well,
she does!
Okay, but shouldn't it be about who Naruto deserves? Naruto's in love with Sakura. Shouldn't he, you know...
And you know what? He got over it. And you know what's interesting? The fact that Naruto got the girl who always loved him. Who he was always her priority. He got the girl.
But we spend the most time with Sakura and Naruto. We grow to care about both Naruto and Sakura. It's not just that Naruto doesn't get Sakura. It's also that Sakura, for all this character growth that she has, goes back to being, you know, the prissy little fangirl. And it's like we're throwing all this character development that we've had for 15 years out the window.
Yeah.
That's what he did. He threw out 15 years of character development.
There wasn't 15 years of character development. No. It was like 2 years of character development and 13 years of fights.
That's because it's a Shonen Jump.
Okay.
Manga.
But don't pretend that this has some great dramatic story.
I'm not pretending
this is
a
bullshit story
that
is being held up with fights.
I agree
Naruto,
with you on that.
Yeah, but let's face it. You could walk away from this comic for years. Come back and nothing, and you would not have a problem picking it up again because nothing has changed.
I agree with you, and that shows in his supposed spinoff, and that they showed that Naruto has a son, and Sasuke and Sakura have a girl, and oh my god,
no, don't mess with Bolt and Salad, okay? I want to watch their ninja adventures, because I think that would be great. We don't have to worry about bullshit war and life changing this or that. It could literally about two stupid ninja kids in a world with weird missions.
Right. Because and they're not going to have to chase the cat again.
Yes. I think that would be an I always want Naruto
to not
be like
your... put in the same training that Naruto had to do with the bells.
I literally wanted Naruto to be you're under arrest with ninjas.
It's not like, oh my god, Orochimaru is still alive.
I think it'd be just hilarious. Like, who's the creepy meds? Like, another Uchiha shows up, is Sasuke's kid. How did he even happen? Cut to Orochimaru. I have a jar of Uchiha juice. Where did you get that? I mean, did you with Sasuke? No, it's just... I've been picking up little bits of him that he's been leaving all over the place, and I've made this. Why would you do that?
And just to leave it on one more note, it's not like, oh, I don't know, Bolt and Salad are going to get together and fall in love, you know, to complete the love that Sasuke and Naruto couldn't have because it would have offended society if they ended up together, you know, to make the yaoi fangirls happy.
Oh, fuck that noise. It's about because we want to see what happens when the Byakugan, Uzumaki chakra size, and the Sharingan make a baby. Because I want to see the Rinnegan come back. Because that's what's going to happen. This is all leading to the Rinnegan coming back.
I'm not disagreeing, would you?
Plus, let's face it, they're hilarious together. You're waiting for... You made two characters that can't help but be hilarious together.
Okay, we haven't seen anything of them except for a couple of pages of... You know, one panel...
She is Sasuke's ego... In the two panels we see of her, she has Sasuke's ego and Sakura's attitude. He is Naruto. It's like... The fan fiction writes itself as it is. I already have a great...
That's
scene.
Exactly what the story is, fan fiction.
And I'm okay with that. Like, I started a story where the peace and quiet of the village hidden in the leaves is broken... by Bolt being bounced into the sky by his aunt during training. And her just standing there going, wow, look at how high he went. Because he is a Hyuga. Oh, by the way, yeah, Bolt's a Hyuga. They have more political power, they're larger in the village, and Naruto's an orphan. Trust me, it makes sense.
This is why we hate fangirls.
That's okay, I hate fans in general.
Like I said, it's not so much that we are shocked, it's just that we're disappointed because, yes, this does definitely prove that he's a hack writer, but we wanted to so much believe that he could be beyond the hack writer. But, you know, like I said, we were wrong.
This is why you learn to not have expectations.
I don't wanna.
Then you're gonna be disappointed like every other nerd is all the time.
So, I guess the next subject is something that Zero Heart, which we'll both bitch about, and this will be bitching, Spider-Verse has been happening.
That is just kind of... It's not even awful, it's just kind of disappointing.
Well, I'll say it's awful because it seems like their goal has been Well, we're going to have to kill off some characters, so let's pick off all the fan favorites and kill them off. You know, because, again, their strategy of making money is if we piss off the fans, it will create noise, which will get hits on our website. And apparently, I guess, that makes more money than selling comics.
My thing is, what was the point of killing off Spider-Man and his amazing friends?
That it would piss us off.
No, there was... It's not even like... Nobody had been thinking of them. In 20 years, nobody was like, man, Spider-Man and his amazing friends. I'd love to see some of that. It was just like, that was a cute cartoon from the 80s.
I have a lot of friends who really like that show.
I liked it, too. I don't care about seeing a comic about it.
I'm not asking them to have me necessarily all in the comic. I mean, we didn't need Firestar or Iceman, but we could have had that Spider-Man in there.
It's just like, it didn't matter. They did a thing that doesn't matter for noise.
Exactly, that's what I just said.
You did, like, they killed off a fan favorite character. I wouldn't call it a fan favorite. I mean, folks enjoyed it, but...
There are a lot of fans that love that series. And if you want to talk about a fan favorite character, let's talk about what happened to May.
Hey, Mayday's still alive. Her parents are dead, but, well...
Exactly. Yeah, they killed the parents and the boyfriend.
Nobody cares about the boyfriend.
I have a lot of friends who will vehemently disagree with you on that.
Like I said, nobody cares about the boyfriend. Nobody who matters.
But, again, it was a backup story that they did in 8 pages, and it was all about death, and having May make a statement of something Sue would never do, and she's never going to do, and I'm going to come back and kill you. It's like, it just left a bad taste in everybody's mouth. And it, like, adds to that, the spider kitty. Literally, what's the cutest type of Spider-Man creature we could create? Ooh, Spider Kitty! And have it be killed off-screen. It's like, why?
Well, as long as Peter Porker is okay. If they kill Peter Porker, it's fucking on.
I'm going to sit here and say this. If Peter Porker is the only Spider-Man standing by the end of this, heads are going to roll.
Hey, if Peter Porker is the only Spider-Man saying at the end of this, I'm perfectly okay with it. Come on! Just as the monthly from now on, Peter Porker, the amazing Spider-Ham! No more one more day, just bacon.
Bacon! Bacon! You smell bacon? Bacon!
Focus.
It's gonna be bacon!
Focus.
So, yeah, that's been pissing a lot of people. Here's the thing. I actually do like the idea of the concept. The concept can be good. The problem is their strategy of how do we piss off fans to make noise? Because that seems to be.
Is this all just kind of going to get undone by the end of the story? Is this going to be a thing where. There's fewer Spider-Men in the. Cosmos, other than this guy. I mean, isn't one of the things going on with Battleworld the image of Peter and MJ and a pregnant MJ?
I don't know if she's pregnant, but it's Peter, MJ, and the redheaded child. So I guess it's the world that was seen in One More Day, where he was happy with Mary Jane and they had a kid.
You know, the...
You know, the pages where Joe Quesada personally wrote how horrible fans were for wanting a married MJ and a family and for the story to progress.
Focus, we've already covered this.
I'm not saying we didn't, but I'm saying that's where that's from.
I know. I'm just stopping you before the rant starts.
I'm not ranting, I'm just telling the truth.
The truth
will not be held back.
Yes, it will.
But, you know, and I think, you know, I am calm about this because I don't know how mad I can be. Without a doubt, I believe that they're going to do something. Their ending is going to piss a lot of people off. But I also think that part of that is, like I said, it's strategy. I also think that Secret Wars may very well reset a lot of things. And so they probably have in their mind, like, we can just go hog wild and do whatever the hell we want. Which I find strange, because it's not like they haven't been already able to do whatever they want with continuity.
Like I said, I think we're just they're looking for a big old reset right now. And this is the point where I just stopped caring. I don't care about Marvel.
I can't say that I don't care about Marvel. I can say I don't care about 616 Marvel.
Look, the most I care about right now with 616 Marvel, actually, I mean 616 Marvel, the most I care about Marvel right now is the Discworld anime.
I haven't seen any of that yet.
My friend Brian and Anthony and a few others are subtitling it, and that's just kind of keen.
Awesome for you. I don't know why Crunchyroll wasn't able to get it.
I'm going to assume it has something to do with the word money.
More than likely, yeah. And Marvel.
Look, if they can't get the Spider-Man Toku, they just got Ultraman.
I know. Well, but the Spider-Man Toku is on Marvel's website. Or did you not know that?
Yeah, I know. And for effect, Japanese Spider-Man gasps.
And then brings in his Megazord. I will say this, but the one thing I'm interested in seeing, the one Spider-Man I am interested in seeing in the Spider-Verse is the Mangaverse Spider-Man. And when I say that, I mean from the new Marvel Mangaverse. Because I have that book.
No, well, I like the Japanese manga Spider-Man, just because, like, here's Spider-Man. He's a full head tall, shorter than everyone else. Konnichiwa, Spider-Man.
Well, that,
nobody cares. Go away.
In the 2000s, there was the new Marvel Mangaverse, and it had one on X-Men, and there was one on Spider-Man, where Spider-Man was a ninja.
Don't remind me.
I like that. You didn't like Rings of Fate?
You like awful things. We've established this.
Why do I even have you on this show?
Because I'm smarter than you.
Bullshit, that's debatable.
We could pull the audience and find that out.
I don't wanna. I'm gonna go back to Diet Coke.
Currently looking at the images from Discworld and just looking at a group shot of the Guardians of the Galaxy.
Oh, God. But, like, I don't care about really... See, as I was going to say before, I don't care about anything 616. Hell, I don't even care the fact that CM Punk apparently is going to be writing a backup in the Thor 1 annual.
I don't even know. Not a big fan of CM Punk, so, meh.
I'm not a fan, really, right now of CM Punk either. Because, you know, unlike him, I actually show up for my job.
Man.
For those who are wrestling fans, they get it.
Just tell me when Spider-Gwen starts, and I'll start reading. Because, quite frankly, it's got me.
Sad part is I missed that issue too. I need to find a way to pick it up.
Yeah, I know is when the monthly starts, just tell me.
Oh, but here's the thing, like those Spider-Verse titles where they went into different Spider-Men that they created, I thought were interesting. Like the one by the guy who did Umbrella Academy, where Spider-Man's basically a girl in a mecha suit.
I thought it was a dude in a mecha suit.
No, it's a girl. I thought that was awesome. Spider-Gwen, I want to see. And I don't know about the other two. I don't think we are saying that there's nothing interesting of it. It's that we just don't trust the people behind it. That they're not going to turn it into, hey, how can we piss the fans off? Because that seems to be the strategy.
I don't think it's so much what can we piss the fans off of, it's how can we generate noise?
Yep.
Because I think your word...
But that's what pissing the fans off does, because it creates noise.
Yes, but I think it's general, like, we have to make him angry. Why?
And, you know, I wonder what the comic book industry is going to do when it finally stops working. Fans finally get, I don't know if fans will ever get smart, but if they do, what is the comic book industry going to do then when they get smart and they have nobody to make noise off of because nobody cares anymore because of that and event fatigue, which this, again, is a little because it's like event after event. I mean, we're in Axis and we have Spider-Verse going, and we're within 6 months, we're going to be starting the Secret Wars in Battle World, which I think is a great segue to get into that. I mean, because... Look, I want to give Marvel all the credit. They are doing a great job in marketing. Because they had all those teasers, and then they actually had a video. And I would be lying if I said I didn't have any interest in Secret Wars. And I think a lot of people do because everybody thinks that's what's going to be resetting the Marvel Universe, which people have been predicting for years that Marvel would do. So I guess my question is, if they do reset through Secret Wars, do you want it to be a hard or a soft reset? Because I really want a soft reset to, like...
No, Martin, no. DC gave us a soft reset. It's been bullshit. Give me a hard reset. Start from scratch.
Well, when I say a soft reset, I mean like reset back to 2006.
No. Screw it. Scrap it all. Scrap it all. We're going from scratch. It's Etch-a-Sketch. It's all crap.
But I don't want to have to wait 30 years for Spider-Man to be married again.
But the same... Maybe it starts off he's married. You don't know this. The problem is, if you do a soft reset, it basically then they're just picking and choosing continuity.
But the other part of it also is... Well, but I'm not saying pick and choose continuity. I'm saying you reset to the way...
But that's what's going to happen!
When I say soft reset, I'm saying reset back to... what Marvel was right after Civil War?
The Dark Age?
Okay, Spider-Man was still married, and there was still some sense to the continuity, because it was before the Skrulls, it was before Dark Reign, it was before all the other stupid events that happened.
But Civil War was a stupid event!
I don't think so. I enjoyed Civil War.
Civil War is a fantastic example of wasted potential. Because it did not...
They wasted it because they went right into another event and went to event.
Instead of it being, you know, an opportunity to have a real honest conversation about responsibility versus liberty, it became, hey, you know what? Anybody who believes the government should get involved are freaking fascists. And they're just going to end up making everything worse.
Okay. I see your point, but I also think that Civil War wasn't necessarily about that, because I think they did present both interests. And if that's the complaint, then why did they have Captain America team lose?
Because it's not even that they lost, it's Cap decided people's lives were more important than winning the fight, so he nobly chose to concede.
But it would also make sense for...
It made Cap look awesome. If somebody had gone to Cap and be like, pointed out exactly everything that was wrong with Cap's side, or, you know, if somebody had talked to Cap around and went, no, you're actually right, and instead of going, we gotta stop fighting because the people are getting hurt, and if it had ended with Tony Stark basically doing a shot for doing a big ol' version of the end of Wanted... then maybe it would have been legitimately a talking point. Instead it was turning registration into straw men and mutant registration people.
But that's why I liked it, because It was a take on what the X-Men were originally about and about the mutant registration. And really, it was, again, it was Mark, let's be honest about this, a large part of it was Mark Millar's, I don't want to call it like criticism definitely, because Mark Millar has never, or however you, I know there's like a different way you pronounce his name and I apologize, but he's never been shy about his opinions on, you know, the Americans. Again, it was an indictment on America, you know, going into Iraq. And, you know, ooh, this happened to us, and now we got to fight all these Arab countries. Whether
Mark
they were.
Millar thinks he's a lot smarter than he is.
I agree with that.
He also. Proof
of that is Kick-Ass.
Oh my god. Proof of that is Wanted, where he basically called his entire audience a bunch of fucks. Who would
that
buy
like
it, who, you know. Like, you're all assholes for loving superheroes, and, you know, you're doing this just because your lives are empty. Yeah. I'm fucking deep.
Mind you, I want to sit there and say this. I'm knocking Mark Millar, and he wrote one of my favorite Spider-Man comic series of all time in the 2004-2005 Marvel Knights Spider-Man run for 12 issues. And it's really good.
Okay.
And I just want to bring up, because they're like, oh, you hate Millar. Oh, no, I love some of his stuff, but there's a lot of stuff
no,
that he
I hate
that
him. No, let's not even get that.
I can't sit here and say I hate him.
Pussy.
I mean, at least he doesn't do the stuff that Dan Slott does. At least he keeps continuity.
Oh, my God, are you really worshiping at the altar of continuity?
Yes. It was where I was baptized.
Oy.
Which is strange, because I'm Jewish.
A kiddie pool is not a church. When you weren't baptized, you were peed on.
But that's not what the man said.
That man wasn't even a priest.
He was an altar boy?
Okay, no.
Well, we really went down that road, and considering what I was talking about with you earlier tonight,
Cut this.
No, this is staying in. This is our guilt.
No, so this is our guilt.
This, we can feel guilty for what we did.
No. See, I took this into one place with peeing on you, and then you just kind of... Wow.
So what you're saying is you accept all the guilt.
When have I ever accepted guilt?
But back to the question about the soft reset.
Look.
So, but that's what I'm saying. So, I mean, what do you expect to... I guess a better question is, what do you expect to see with Secret Wars? What do you hope to see?
How do I put this? I want them to kill Wolverine over and over and over again.
But he's already dead!
Shh, don't ruin this.
Wait, I think I have a... but you keep going, because I think I have a thing for this.
You know, what do I want? God, what do I want? I want to see a female Captain America happen. That's a thing I want to happen.
Captain America.
What?
American Dream from the new Mangaverse.
Okay, that's great. Except for the fact that, you know, she's not 616, and she's not putting on the costume. But that's neither... But putting that aside, I want to see them stop being bitches to Rogue. She had a good thing going. She had control over her powers. That was for growth. Stop ruining it. I want to see T'Challa not be in an outfit that's awful. And, you know, Okay. Let me put it to you this way. T'Challa is way more interesting than the Black Panther. And I know a lot of people don't get the distinction. T'Challa is the king of a country. He is a pretty awesome guy. His name is T'Challa. The Black Panther is a generic ninja with a cat theme and an awful, awful outfit. This needs to change.
I guess I can agree, because I haven't read much of Black Panther. But on your, by the way, what I was looking for on your subject of Wolverine, I have this to say. Nope, wait. And Rebot. Let's try this again, because I had volume muted.
That's unfortunate.
God damn it! Muted again! Let's try this again for a third time! One more time!
Stop! He's already dead!
I'm leaving this in to show you how much of an idiot I am.
Oh, man.
I had like 3 different mutes on my laptop.
Yep. Okay. So, well, no matter. I don't care. I just want Wolverine to stop. Wolverine is like, he is DC's answer to Batman. And by DC's answer to Batman, I mean way more popular than he deserves to be.
By the way, a reaction to my mute bots right there is this.
Live TV is awesome.
The soundboard. It makes its first appearance.
It's just...
Yes, I have a soundboard, folks. Be afraid.
Yeah. I want them to actually, maybe with this reboot, have some form of consistency with the X-Men and the rest of the Marvel Universe, because they exist on a whole other narrative function. Okay, in the regular Marvel Universe, you are a human in a fantastic outfit with superpowers. I love you, people! We will build mansions for you, and have parades for you, and have TV shows for you. You are a human born with fantastic powers who is just trying to get the mail. I will kill you with the power of my hatred and my prejudice that has not changed since the 60s. This is the narrative dissonance between the rest of the Marvel Universe and the X-Men.
I agree with you. I want them to set the X-Men back.
No.
I would just... Most of all, I just want them to undo all the deaths. Because all the deaths that have happened over the past 5 years have been useless. Because they've all come back. So I want them to the characters who are dead, I want them to bring it back. And I want them to put a 5-year moratorium on killing people.
Well, if you do that, then hack writers aren't going to have anything. It's like, I need to think of something to do.
Well, you know what my answer to them wanting to kill characters are? It's this.
Good God in heaven, I mean, there are just so very many ways for me to say this to you. Never, not in a million years, absolutely not. No way, Jose, no chance, Lance, yet, negatory, and of course my own personal favorite of all time, man falling off of the cliff.
No! But one of the longer than I thought it would. Sorry, I wanted to use... That's me wanting to use a clip for no apparent reason.
And this, ladies and gentlemen, is why we got rid of the soundboard the first time.
No, but I want them to bring characters back. I want them... Look, I'm not saying that fans all have the best idea... But I want them to listen to what the fans are saying and try to find a good balance.
Here's a fan idea. Here's a fan idea for Spider-Verse, Spoderman. Come on, you know you'd love it if just in the middle of Spider-Verse, swinging alongside all the other Spider-Men, Spider-Man! And Deadpool.
But we're not talking about Spider-Verse right now, we're talking about Secret Wars. For that reason, like, I'm not getting my hopes up that, you know, that Spider-Man with Mary Jane and the kid are going to go anywhere. In fact, I am pretty damn sure, I am willing to make a bet that he will either be the first character killed off or the very last character killed off, making some type of sacrifice to those characters, and that all those characters will be killed at some point in it. I can bet money on it.
Secret Wars Mark II, because we finally run out of actual things to do with our characters.
Exactly. Like I said, I don't want to be negative about this, because I do have some interest in it. I just don't have the confidence in Marvel to do it right.
You have the most... You have an abusive relationship with Marvel. He said he wouldn't do it this time. He said he loved me. And then you get...
Okay, I said I don't have the confidence they will not do it this time.
But you're going to buy it anyway.
Actually, no. But then again, that's more due to the fact of my money issues.
Uh-huh.
I don't really buy events anymore.
I don't even freaking bother. I mean, what was the last event I picked up? I think it was... After these messages, we'll be right back.
Hey everyone, my name is Michael Bailey.
And I'm Jeffrey Taylor.
And we host a podcast called From Crisis to Crisis, a Superman podcast.
Presented by the Superman homepage. On the show... Wait.
What?
This just isn't working out for me. It's not bombastic enough. We need something epic.
Like what?
Welcome to From Crisis to Crisis, a Superman podcast, presented by the Superman homepage. I am Jeffrey Taylor.
And I am Michael Bailey.
From Crisis to Crisis chronicles the adventures of Superman.
Wait. I'm just not feeling this.
I'm just wondering how there's a needle scratching sound when all of this is clearly digital.
Look, all we need to say is that this is a trailer for a show called From Crisis to Crisis, a Superman podcast presented by the Superman homepage. My name is Michael Bailey.
I'm Jeffrey Taylor.
And every week we give in-depth synopsis and reviews for just about every Superman book published between Man of Steel number 1 in 1986.
And Adventures of Superman number 649 in 2006. We also talk about the related Superman media, what was happening in the rest of the world when these comics were published, and what else was going on in the DC Universe.
The show drops every Thursday-ish at the Superman homepage, which is located at www.supermanhomepage.com.
From Crisis to Crisis is also a proud member of the Superman Podcast Network, located at www.supermanpodcastnetwork.com.
So join Jeffrey and I each week as we explore Superman during the post-crisis era, which includes Exile, Panic in the Sky, Doomsday, The Marriage, and beyond.
And write into the show at FromCrisisToCrisis@gmail.com and hear it read on the air, eventually, because we get behind on that sort of thing.
Superman created by Jerry Siegel and Joe Shuster. Side effects from Crisis to Crisis include loss of money from buying back issues, a desire to read 20-year-old comic books, nausea, drowsiness, pizza, blurred vision, upset stomach, a desire to kick puppies and kittens, and backache from lifting boxes of Superman comics. If the excitement of From Crisis to Crisis lasts more than 4 hours, seek immediate medical attention.
Hey, Michael.
Hey, Dad.
We need to record another new trailer.
Another one?
Yes. You know that we read comics and then talk about comics, because as we've established, talking about comics you've not read is just dumb.
Yeah, and you make me do it every Thursday.
Well, we've moved.
Have we?
Yes, we have outgrown our old location.
I don't feel like I've moved.
And we have now moved to twotruefreaks.com.
What was that again?
Twotruefreaks.com. Hey, Kids Comics. Still every Thursday at twotruefreaks.com.
Gathered together from the far reaches of the internet, are assembled a network of podcasts dedicated to the first and greatest superhero, Superman. The Superman Podcast Network is dedicated to covering all aspects of the Superman legend, featuring
The Thrilling Adventures of Superman,
Golden Age Superman,
The Superman Fan Podcast,
Superman in the Bronze Age,
From Crisis to Crisis, a Superman podcast,
The Schuster Herald Podcast,
It's Superman,
The Kara Zor-El Podcast,
The Arm of Heroes Steel, a John Henry Allen podcast,
The World's Best Podcast,
and
Radio KAL from SupermanHomepage.com.
Join hosts
Michael Bradley,
John Wilson,
Billy Hogan,
Charlie Niemeyer,
J. David Weider,
Jeffrey Taylor,
Michael Bailey,
Scott Gardner,
Sam Rizzo,
Danny Sapp,
Matthew Epps,
I'm Isaac,
I'm Adam,
Dave Yunus, and co-host Scotty V
at SupermanPodcastNetwork.com.
Yeah, play it. Come on. Play it loud. Play it loud.
And now, it's time to sit back and enjoy the Two True Freaks Internet Radio Broadcast.
Illogic. Foolish emotions. A constant irritant.
Intense out. Freak!
Two!
Belong in the circus. Right next to the dog-faced boy.
True!
I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass. And I'm all out of bubblegum.
Oh,
shit.
It's a super prize package worth $9,300.
This isn't the biggest bag over the head punch in the face I ever got. God damn it!
Ow! Go away, Peyton!
And now, together by live simulation via the internet, your hosts, Scott Gardner.
He killed a police officer, for Christ's sake!
Thank God damn lucky he didn't kill off.
And Chris Honeywell.
Keep away! Keep away from me!
You are physically repulsive, intellectually retarded, vulgar, insensitive, selfish, stupid. You have no taste, a lousy sense of humor, and you smell.
So you're looking at me?
Yeah, because she thought you're some kind of freak. Now come on,
hey,
let's go.
She likes me, eh?
No way.
Shut up, you freak!
Julius, you...
I say shut up! It's a man home! A man home!
TwoTrueFreaks.com.
You know what? I have an event I will pick up. This is a great segue into our next topic, DC's Convergence.
Dick Grayson and Barbara Gordon are married.
Yes, and, Lois is back together with Superman.
No, not back together. No. Don't put it wrong. Lois isn't back together, Superman. Lois was never apart from Superman, and they are having a baby.
They're still married. They're still married, and they're having. And Lois is pregnant with Clark's child. To which I say, come on, you know you agree with me.
Yes, I probably agree with you. I'm still going to murder your soundboard. You're like that guy who responds to all the Facebook posts with memes.
But that's because it's so fun.
I will slap you upside your bitch hole. Okay. But yes. This is so good. I mean, Stephanie Brown, Batgirl, and Cassandra Cain, Black Bat.
Stephanie Brown.
I mean, not since Mary Jane have we seen a character this beloved by the fans, hated so much by the creators.
Wow, it is so true.
I mean, I think they killed Young Justice because she appeared in an episode.
Apparently Hollywood really, really hates Greg Wiseman. I'm going to correct you. Stephanie Brown is the third character. First you have Mary Jane, then you have Greg Wiseman, then you have Stephanie Brown.
Yeah. It's because that person.
No, it's because he actually does it right and cares about the fans and tries to create a good series. Because he created Gargoyles, he did Witch, he did Spectacular Spider-Man, Young Justice. He has not had he's not even had a good series. Every series he's done has been great.
It's true. Young Justice. I mean, are they doing anything with Gargoyles?
I wish they would release it on Netflix is what I wish they would do with Gargoyles. I know it's out on DVD.
Is there a comic coming out for it?
I don't know, but, look, I think if we still haven't gotten the relaunch of Darkwing Duck's comic since the merger with Marvel, I'm not holding out any hope for a Gargoyle comic. And that still pisses me off.
No. Wait. Shut up. Guest starring in Howard the Duck, Darkwing Duck, Scrooge McDuck, Gizmo Duck, and Launchpad McQuack.
Crisis on Infinity Ducks.
It's like, Howard, my people!
Which actually, they already did that too. That was in the IDW Darkwing Duck comic book. They actually did that. There was a whole arc called Crisis. I don't know if it's called Crisis on Infinity Ducks, but it was the title was a parody of Crisis on Infinity Earth, and it was freaking awesome. Actually, to be honest, the arc was basically what Spider-Verse is going to be. Except
going off and killing all the other Darkwings in horribly violent and inappropriate ways.
Well, not in inappropriate ways, but I guarantee you by the end of Spider-Verse, we should do that. When Spider-Verse ends, we'll look at Spider-Verse and compare it with like the four or five issue run of Darkwing Duck where they do that arc and see who did it better. I think I just blew Edwin's mind.
Or we could do something that gives me joy, and we could read The Incredibles.
Or just read Darkwing Duck.
Yes, we could just read Darkwing Duck comics.
Or Who Framed Roger Rabbit comics. I do have Who Framed Roger Rabbit comics.
We could also go back and read some of the better Marvel comics, like, the Oz comics. Because if you don't like the Oz comic, the Wizard of Oz comics, you have no soul on your shoes because you're poor and you can't buy them.
Okay, does the Xenoscope Oz count?
The what?
You know Xenoscope, right? The comic company?
No.
Okay, they're the ones that are known for cheesecake covers and horror stories.
Yep, nope, don't know them. I've never even remotely bothered with them. I'm going to assume this is the company that produces Terra, Witch of the Black Vagina.
I'm going to hunt you down and hurt you.
I'd like to see you run farther than a block.
No, I'll just get in the car. I'm not that far from New York anymore. Remember that. No, that's Broadsword Comics, by the way. No. Xenoscope is Philadelphia-based, and they're a bigger publisher than Broadsword, because Broadsword is just Jim and Holly. This is actual company. They do Grimm Fairy Tales. they have multiple, like, sort of, they're horror stories, and they have a lot of gore, but a lot of, like, cheesecake as well, which obviously they get criticized for, obviously.
I can't imagine why.
Why?
Okay, and you're thinking Wonderland, not Oz.
No, they did Wonderland, but they, this past summer, they did a miniseries.
Oh, yep, there it is. Nope, that's a Wonderland 2. By the way, I'm looking at their covers. I'm getting sad.
I'm going to ask why. There's also Big Dog Inc.'s The Legend of Oz, the Wild West. It's like Oz is like a Wild Western.
No.
It's actually very good.
I'm sure it is. But no, Marvel actually did, for all ages, no less.
Yeah, they did an all-ages book. Yeah.
Like a perfect adaptation of the Oz books by L. Frank Baum.
Yeah, called Oz.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Yeah.
Well, they did every book as like its own little thing, and I love them.
but back to Convergence, because we went from Convergence to Greg Wiseman, and we somehow landed on talking about Marvel again. I don't know. Sorry for that tangent.
Because I want to talk about good comics.
Okay, but you're saying that DC's Convergence isn't going to be good?
I don't have hope in DC anymore.
Look, just by the descriptions, I have hope. And it's bound to be better than anything Marvel's doing.
They'll find a way to fuck it up.
Okay, the only good thing going in Marvel is something I'll be talking about in a little bit when we talk about the comics we're reading. And I actually do like some of the stuff as I'll talk about what DC is doing. But, I mean, you have Lois being married again to Clark and having his child. You have Stephanie Brown coming back. You have Barbara and Dick getting together, and Barbara being back in the wheelchair, where she is 100 times much more interesting character.
Yeah, except we've talked about this. It makes no sense, considering the world they live in.
Understandable, but... Okay, they may have her out of the wheelchair, I don't know. Still, it's going to be awesome to see that character back. And, let's not forget, I saw a thing for Harley Quinn. And that they're going to have the Gotham City Sirens back together of her, Poison Ivy, and Catwoman. And that was a really good series. I know, because I was collecting it.
But them versus Flashpoint Aquaman?
Yeah.
Yeah, this will end well.
I can hope. I have a lot more faith in DC to actually do something right than I do Marvel.
So how's that health spot going?
I'll just ignore that. I think this is a good point to get to finish off about what we've been reading. Because, Dan, we have, July, August, September, October, middle of November. We have about 5 months of comics we've been collecting, or at least that I've been collecting.
I don't collect. I just read what comes into work.
Okay.
I work in a library. It works for me.
I'm not saying anything.
All I've got is Batman and Spider-Man, and my God, that's disappointing.
Have you been reading anything new, though?
Zeta the Space Girl. Which, if you haven't read Zeta the Space Girl, you're an awful person and probably a Nazi.
Fuck. Well, there goes all the viewers that did give us a chance. Thank you for joining us for the past hour.
Please.
Well, last time I left you were really into the new Miss Marvel, though.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I'm also poor. But I still love that little girl so much. Especially that, she just keeps getting cuter.
Well, she just had a crossover with Spidey.
I read that. I was like, oh my God, I totally ship you and Miss Marvel. First, I slapped my forehead. Then I laughed. I laughed the laugh of true joy.
It's we dated once.
That was her idea. I don't want to get into it. Shut up. Go away.
She used the handcuffs.
What? Wait, I missed that line. What?
I said she used the handcuffs. It was terrible. That was the after date that he doesn't talk about anymore.
I am currently reading, because I picked it up at work, X-Men Primer.
Hmm.
Which, I'd like it more if it wasn't explicitly there for half the cheesecake it is.
Is it a 90s comic?
No, it's semi-recent. It's, I think right after Aurora broke up with T'Challa. It's got Jubilee, Storm, Rogue, Kitty Pryde, Psylocke, Rachel Gray. It's at it's in Logan's school.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know, I don't know if it's still going anymore, but I know there was a run that, like, Terry Dobson and Rachel Dobson, who I love as artists, they were doing a run.
This has Wood, Coypel, and Lopez.
I think I know Lopez. He's a good artist.
Well, the art's pretty, you know. Cheesecake-y, but pretty.
Yeah. As far as stuff I've been reading, you know, there's stuff I've been thinking about dropping. Not that it's been horrible, but it's just like, it's not as interesting as the stuff that's really come to mind. Like, Teen Titans, I think, have been really good. You know, they relaunched, but, you know, I really like the team of, you know, you have Wonder Girl, who's apparently inspired a bunch of girls to dress up like her, and they've formed a roaming gang that is going through New York and beating up muggers and people who are harassing women. Are you hitting your head against your mic again?
Yes.
But it's her, it's, you know, Raven, Tim Drake as Red Robin, Bunker.
Yeah, I really love the first issue of that series where Bunker all of a sudden became really bitter about people hating gay people when that was never a problem before. Hey, remember Bunker, who was really kind of a fun-loving, happy guy?
I think that's part of what's going on, is that he has changed. And there's been a change of him, and it is going to affect what, you know, his relationship with the team. And I am interested in seeing. And by the way, starting in the summer, the brand new Power Girl.
Yeah, I'm kind of feeling the new Power Girl.
Oh, yeah, I love how it is. They did it that, you know, Karen Starr went back to Earth 2, and somehow her powers were, or in some form we don't know yet, her powers, or she transferred her power. She didn't transfer her power. She still has her powers, but she found, I guess, a way to give the, I can't remember the name of the character, her powers, and now she has all of Power Girl's powers, and that Karen left her the name Power Girl for this on this Earth.
Yep.
To her.
And it's going to be pretty nice to see a Power Girl who's not a slut. Oh, you don't like that? Well, you know what? I didn't like it when the Power Girl I loved suddenly turned into Kim Kardashian and Paris Hilton.
Oh. Did we really see her sleep with anybody?
They've been pretty freaking blatant. It's not even like they've been vague about it. She's basically been, you know, groaning her own, partying, hooking up with dudes.
I mean, I know she hooked up with Mr. Terrific.
Yeah. The last issue before she leaves, she and Helena have a conversation that is essentially, do you have to sleep with everybody? Well, yeah.
I love everybody.
Yeah.
I understand why you don't like it. I've not had a problem. I mean, surprise, I've not had a problem with it. But I've been really enjoying World's Finest.
Yeah. She's Starfire without Starfire's endearing naivete.
Speaking of Starfire, I have been loving Red Hood and the Outlaws.
I haven't had a chance to touch it. You know, poverty.
I understand. but I really enjoyed it.
You know what? Every time I see Jason in from the little clips my friend sends me of Batman comics,
yeah,
I've enjoyed it. I like where they're going with Jason, where he's, you know...
Well, speaking of Jason, he was guest starred in Supergirl recently. And that's another comic that's just really just recently surprised me. I love this new direction that, you know, she's come back from being a Red Lantern, and she's come to Earth, and it's after New Krypton Doomsday, and where there's a Krypton cloud, and it's been dispersed. And she's trying to, you know, to make up for stuff. She's trying to help people. And, you know, there's this monster that formed, and she meets this guy. And it's an African-American young man who's actually crippled. He's in a wheelchair because of an accident he was in. And he can't walk anymore. And he has a dog. And him and Supergirl are now in a relationship. And I find it's interesting, and it's like, it feels so organic, and it feels so natural. And it's like, wow, I really like this. It's going to piss me off when they kill him for no apparent reason, because, A, we can't have Supergirl fall in love, and we have to make her a depressed character.
Because
but,
superheroes can't be happy.
Yeah. Never. That's so awful. But no, I've really been digging Supergirl. I've really been digging World Finest, Red Hood and the Outlaws, Teen Titans. I love the fact that you have this new... And you know what? I like Power Girl's new outfit. Or at least this Earth's Power Girl's outfit.
Yeah.
I think it's...
I'm liking it, too. I think currently it has a boob window, but they're going to replace that with a gold circle at some point.
Yeah.
And I'm loving... you have no idea how much that... I really love that. And I don't know why. Not just because it's on a boob window, but because it's so simple and iconic.
But you know what? The boob window should belong to Karen. Because that, in a way, that's become Karen's symbol. And she wears proudly. And it works for her character. It wouldn't work for this character. And yet, at the same point in time, it's also the reason the Yellow Circle, I think, worked. Because it's not a boob window, but it's a throwback to... The Power Girl costume, and it has the feelings of that classic Power Girl costume, yet it's still different enough.
It's also it's simple, eye-catching, it's effective.
She's just as sexy as Power Girl in that outfit.
That's not even the point. It's not even about the sexy.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, if you showed me a male superhero with a big gold oval on his chest, that would still be cool.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The color scheme works. Oh, absolutely, it does work. I think it would work for any character, but I think it really works for her character more importantly. And I love her character design with it. I don't want to call it an afro, because I know it's not an afro, but I don't know what to call that hairstyle.
Poofs. It's poofs. Pigtail poofs. That's what I call them.
No. She's got the new Annie hairdo.
I don't even know about what that means.
There's a modern day version of the Annie musical movie. It's coming out, like, I think either this month or December. It stars Jamie Foxx. Excuse me. Cough there. But yeah, it stars Jamie Foxx, and Annie is a black girl who's an orphan, and she, again, it's basically the Annie story. It's like they've been showing the trailer in front of every movie nonstop for the past 6 months.
Okay.
Past 9 months, excuse me.
So, is Jubilee still a vampire?
I don't know. but the back onto my comics, I have been enjoying Tarot. There's been an issue I've enjoyed at the same point in time. There was an issue where Raven fought Thornwick, who is this villain who is basically the opposite of Tarot. He's the sword man of justice who's supposed to keep the balance, but he's from the fairy world. And his first appearance actually in the comic was back in issue 50, which was years ago. And he, because Tarot is a every 2 month comic, and he basically, he comes to arrest his family because their young boy was basically capturing fairies that he thought were butterflies. And, you know, when boys have a bug collection, what they put them in the glass and, you know, take them apart and everything. However, bug collecting works that way.
This and took so a dark turn.
But he's doing it to fairies. Of course, they don't know that they're fairies. They think they're butterflies because they don't know the fairy world. So they capture these, and they basically crucify this family, the entire family, for the young boy's supposed sins. And Tarot is not able to save him, and she tries to fight him. She can't. It's a story that basically... There's a lot more dimensions to the story that I really can't explain and complete here, because it'd be here for another 20 minutes. But that's where his first appearance is, and he has a fight with Raven, and Raven basically locks him in this evil tomb that she's gotten from this library. And she's basically used him, by capturing him, she's now unlocked the tomb and can use its black magic. In one hand, it was an awesome fight, it was an awesome Raven story, but I wasn't satisfied with the ending of Thornwick, because I don't feel like he got his proper comeuppance from all the shit that he's done over from what he did in issue 50, and he was also in a recent issue that led to both Raven and Raven's mother being burned really, really badly and allowing the Fairy Kings to take control of Tarot. But, you know, I've still enjoyed it. They, by the way, they just, launched a new Kickstarter, by the way, for a Tarot, School Bites crossover. School Bites is a webcomic that Holly, who's the colorist, does. It's very cute. It's going to be a PG-13 story, and it's basically Tarot and Raven meeting the School Bite characters. I've been really enjoying the Godzilla comic. That has been all types of awesome. Especially now that we have this kick-ass Godzilla movie that's out. I still haven't, unfortunately, been able to pick up the DVD, however, which makes me sad.
Look, I just saw Captain America, the Winter Soldier... like Sunday. Not even Sunday, Friday. So I'm kind of behind.
You still haven't seen the Godzilla movie yet?
No.
Dude, you have to see it. You have to see it. You have to see it.
Don't tell me what I have to do. You're not my mom.
I'm not saying I'm your mom, but you're missing what may be one of the greatest Godzilla movies of all time.
Does Ultraman appear?
No.
Does a Megazord appear?
No.
Then I don't care.
Okay, one of the greatest Godzilla movies that rationally could have happened without copyright infringement that didn't come out of your mind. I mean, and for the most part, those have been most of the comics I've been enjoying the most. I mean, there are several independents that I've been looking at that have been interesting. Ooh, I can't believe I almost forgot this. One last thing. Since we're talking about Spider-Man, the reason I said that I have no interest in the 616 is because I am really enjoying the Ultimate Spider-Man in the Ultimate Universe. Oh, they brought Peter Parker back.
Yep, and he's not an asshole.
Nope. He's actually had progression to his character. Oh my god. It actually exists.
Hey, can I get my web shooters back? Oh, it was because it was a sentimental thing, but you know what? This guy's being kind of a douchebag, so, enjoy him. I'm gonna go be dead somewhere else. Oh, hey, Aunt May. I'll be in my room.
No, but I, and I love that interaction. I love the fact that the first place he went to was Mary Jane, and then immediately upon meeting her, he realized how horrible he was. That's so Peter Parker.
It's like, oh, right, I'm an idiot. Right, hey, guys.
But if doesn't it feel organic?
Like I said, that's Peter, isn't it? Hey, that's right, I'm an idiot. Yeah, I'll be in my room.
And then he shows up on TV, and I love how, this is why I love this world's Aunt May. She's not a complete idiot. As soon as she sees him, she knows the very first place he's going to, and him and Gwen go there. As like, yeah, I love, by the way, like, you're about to get the biggest guilt trip ever, but let's, you know, it's just hug for right now.
You're almost waiting for, like, the only way it would have been more organic is if he got close to me and she just started smacking him upside the head.
Smacking who?
Peter.
Miles?
No. If May started hitting Peter. Stupid little... I thought you were dead. We buried you. Crying the entire time.
No. That wouldn't be this world's Aunt May.
That's
I love
everybody's how Aunt May.
Not Ultimate Aunt May. Ultimate Aunt May is like Ultimate Gwen Stacy. They're both much more awesome than the original.
That's still awesome is like that moment of just like, ah! You know, like frustrated.
The only sad thing is that we don't have any confirmation yet, but they may have well killed off Jonah. Which I'm sad because I love this world's Jonah. I love that it has the differences between it.
Yeah. Hold on.
Okay. I thought you were going to start banging your head against the microphone there again.
No, I was actually shifting the microphone because it was falling off. I've known nothing about Jonah, so... I mean...
So, yeah. Ultimate Spider-Man, I had just been hooked on it. You know, I've been hooked on a feeling. Ooga chaga, ooga, ooga,
stop,
ooga
stop.
Chaga. Dude, I downloaded the Awesome Mix from the Google Store. Everybody, I find it amazing how everybody loves that soundtrack. Ooh, child. What are you doing? I'm distracting you, asshole. Dude, you have no idea how much we've been quoting Guardian. By the way, that shows you how good both Godzilla and Guardians of the Galaxy was.
Hey, folk, maybe, considering. I haven't seen Guardians of the Galaxy.
I'm not spoiling. All I'm saying, what I'm going to say was that those are the two movies I went back to see in the theaters after I already saw it once.
True, so, we left a sticky mess all over the seats. It was embarrassing.
Though, to be fair, the second time for both of them, I didn't have to pay. The second time for Godzilla was part of a group, and as a member, they paid for, because I showed up in a tie, they paid for my ticket. I kid you not. It's like, if you show up in a nice shirt and a tie, we'll pay for your ticket. Okay. And I had another friend, so like, I don't get paid till payday. I'm like, do you want to go see it? I'm like, sure. Then you're going. I'll pay for you. Okay.
I can make so many inappropriate jokes starting right now, but I'm going to try to be a decent human being.
Have you tried to be a decent human being for, what, 25 years? How's that worked out for you so far?
I'm 32.
Hey, look at it this way. I thought you were younger. So I think we've reached the end of this first episode. Edwin, have you had fun tonight?
Let's say yes, just for the sake of argument.
Well, you're allowed to say no.
That's not what the guy in the corner with the sniper rifle is telling me.
It's not a sniper rifle. It's a squirt gun.
You bitch.
How could you not? Don't you see the Super Soaker logo on the side of it?
Yeah, it was written in with marker. And it's got a laser scope.
You can put a laser scope on anything these days. Look, look, just be honest and see what happens. If it's really gone and it takes you out, you could always haunt me forever in your afterlife.
I will be completely honest. I am a Skrull. My name is Legia. I have been sent to this world to infiltrate and mess with your comic culture. So far, I have succeeded.
Did anything happen?
My toes! He took my toes!
So, I know I've had a great time. I've really missed doing this. Like I said, I know, in all honesty, you've had a good time.
Yeah.
We missed this. We needed this tonight.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I want to thank everybody for listening to our first episode of whatever the hell we're going to call this goddamn podcast, because we still haven't come up with a title. All we know is that it's not going to have the word CM Jew in it.
And the world is a better place because of that.
Yes. So thank you for listening. We hope you come back for the second episode. This will be on the Absolution Network. So check us out at www.an.132productions.com. Make sure to check out all the other 132 Productions content. And, of course, all our friends that are on the cyber of the site, which I would say, but I would probably get Edwin hooked on another 3 different podcasts. Like, I got you hooked on Michael Bailey and Jeffrey Taylor's From Crisis to Crisis. Which, by the way, Mike says that he is not responsible for any trauma you experienced. He wanted me to pass that on to you.
Uh-huh. Michael Bailey, and I will have your soul.
And by soul, he means a gummy bear.
Your gummy bear shall be mine!
Good night, everybody. When you were languishing in rooms I built to value in.